Glory to Jesus Christ. Thank you for joining us. The aim of this class is to gain the art of spiritual life through the teaching of Holy Bishop Ignatius Brancheninov. This study has already transformed many lives, and we hope your life will be transformed too.
In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, and power, and glory, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and ever, and forever.
Amen.
So we'll come back. We had a little break. At first, everybody has the book? Okay. If not, this book from our friend, Deacon Ed, The Fruit of Silence, is, I think, is the best book. And not only his book, but I think that what he did here really made outline for how to pray Jesus prayer. And when you start to read that, so it is not only the prayer alone, and actually it's connected a little bit what we are going to talk about today, that you have to create some kind of spiritual environment in your soul and heart to make this prayer fruitful. So it is because prayer can be dead if we don't fulfill some kind of conditions for good prayer. And we are going to talk, it fits very well with our topic today. I'm talking about books. There is, I have to share one joy, because today the first step was done to make these things to be published in Slovak. So hopefully there is this description of this, our group, and what we are doing and how we are doing. So it will be some kind of offer for parishes to do the same thing, to follow what we are doing. So I am very tired because I realized how many mistakes I made. I had to redo many things, but it seems that, well, if it is God's will, it will be published too. Finally something, you know. But good thing is that if it works, if it helps, so if it is for God's glory, so then it is important. So enough self-promotion. Let's go back to Saint Ignatius. All right, so we are on page 156, somewhere in the middle. The paragraph starts with unite your prayer with wise fasting.
Okay. Unite your prayer with wise fasting. Such a union of two spiritual weapons is commanded by the Lord himself for expelling the demons out of ourselves. When you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, the Lord himself commanded. According to the explanation of the Holy Fathers, the oil with which the head was customarily anointed indicates mercy that must always accompany our spiritual judgment, as the Apostle said. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. You must wash the face of your body and soul with tears. They will only appear on the face of the one who prays and fasts, and only when his heart will be overfilled with mercy for his neighbor and compassionate co-suffering with all mankind without any exception.
Everything is great in this, except this fasting. It's always some kind of difficult thing for us. But he gives us these two conditions, to connect prayer with fasting. And we are not going there because we went through fasting in previous chapter. So we are not going to talk about that and to explain the value of fast. But he goes like further. He said, okay, even if you connect prayer with fasting, and if mercy is missing in your heart, there is no forgiveness in your heart, so those powerful tools are not working. They are not bringing the spiritual tool you can use. And so this, now we see even like in each chapter is dedicated to some kind of practice, fasting and giving commandments and etc. And but again we can see that everything is like connected. It is one whole thing. Even we speak about different topics in this according to these chapters, but those things are not separated, they are connected. And one thing is making other possible or working, but sometimes one thing is what is missing. You can fast, you can pray a lot of, but if there is no mercy, it can be this block which makes your prayer nothing, just empty words, an empty stomach, you know. But so this is why we have to, even when we study or we read about spiritual things, we always have to keep in mind that we cannot just choose one practice and to keep them to come to some kind of satisfaction that I'm doing well because I'm keeping this part of spiritual life really perfect in my life. Everything has to be in the right place. And well, let's continue. There will be more about this mercy. I'm not going to jump the gun.
Do you want to be united with God through prayer? First, unite your heart with mercy, through which we are called to become like our Heavenly Father and to become perfect in grace. Force your heart to become merciful and good, and submerge and robe your entire spirit in these qualities until you feel within yourself true love for your neighbor, such love that its rays shine equally on the evil and on the good. When from your heart you forgive all of your neighbors their sins, then you will see your own sins. You will see how much you need God's mercy, how much all of mankind needs it. You will cry aloud before God for yourself and for all mankind. The Holy Fathers include all of the deeds of the monk, all his life in one word, tears. What are the tears of a monk? They are his prayer.
Thank you. Well, so the way to real and pure prayer leads through the mercy. Now, this goodness of heart, this merciful heart, is heart which is similar to God, who gives grace to our grace and his good things to those who are good and those are bad, like sun, which shines over to everybody. And now we have to be very careful to understand correctly this mercy, because mercy is very important, but we cannot be uh, Because how God is perfect in mercy, He is perfect in justice too. You know, so it means that to be merciful, it doesn't mean not to see and understand sin in this world. To be merciful, it means that we see what is bad, but while our reaction is merciful, it means that we are not blind to this, but we are hurt in heart with this sin, with this weakness we see, and it leads us to prayer. It leads us to this movement of heart which is broken by seeing that and turning to God for help, for His mercy, for His grace. So mercy can see what is wrong, but doesn't make judgment. It's difficult to somehow to explain, because if we can recognize what is wrong, there is judgment. We are making judgment, but it depends what kind of judgment is. If this judgment brings me to sorrow, to pain of heart, and to crying over this sin or injustice, and it wakes up our mercy in my heart, then it is, I would say, good judgment, you know, because we have to use this judgment, it means to somehow to judge somebody in negative way, but we are called to judge everything in a way to recognize what is good, what is bad. And many times we have to even act, especially when we see some kind of defect, for example, parents in behavior of their children. So yes, there are called to point this is not good, but it doesn't mean that the parent, the mother or father, would kick off the child out of the house. No, this is act of mercy that well, it doesn't renounce the child, but there is this desire, this defect was removed from life, and for sure parents are praying for their children and asking, well, this is something what is not good, so they are asking for God's forgiveness, help. So this is this correct judgment. Patrick, do you want?
I was just going to say, an example from my life is I broke a plate glass window at home, and my dad said, I forgive you, you're going to pay for the window. So there's the mercy and the justice, you know. Sure. It's like, you're still going to pay the price, but I forgive you. There's no moral judgment on you, but in justice you pay
sure. The
price. And that's what...
Yeah, and so we have to, like, because sometimes we are infected with this, and it happens so much, so many times in our life, and we are able to bring a lot of examples that those who are almost not Christians, they know several, like, phrases from gospel, and they imply you have to be merciful, but not according to God's thinking, according to their understanding, how it fits to them. And many times we are like caught, and yes, this is true that we should be merciful, or we should be loving and kind, but according God's will, not according somebody who wants to use it as a benefit for own situation, or wants to put us somewhere to corner and to So, all right. Now, what he says here, and what I like very much, he says that if we are able to be merciful, we are trying to be merciful, he says that this mercy is the key which opens door to knowledge. And it is not this intellectual knowledge. This is knowledge which comes from above and enlightens our mind, this I or our soul, and we can recognize really in depth what is good and what is bad. And it uncovers like intensity and seriousness of our sins. And this knowledge about state of our heart, it's so intensive that it pushes us to Lord's feet with tears, and we are begging for help. And I think this is the very important thing, because what he says, if you should unite your prayer with fasting, it means to make your passions weaker through fast. Then if you add this mercy to your acting, to your how you see others, how you judge things, this merciful heart, so it comes, you are opening your heart to this understanding of your own heart, and you start to see your own sins in real light, how God sees them almost. And more you are perfect in this, so more clearly you see seriousness of your sins, and the reaction to this state of our heart are tears. It's this pain in heart. It's not depression, you know. This is not depression that I am beating myself, but it is really the state that I understand that I really need God, I really need Savior, I really need somebody who would make me free from the state of my heart. And this is why he says that. Wherever it is, about monks. Oh, it's here, yeah. Holy Fathers, that whole life of monk, whole life and all deeds can be named by one word, tears. What are the tears of a monk? They are his prayer. So it means that the state of heart, which is enlightened and seriousness of our sin and weakness are revealed to us, they cause this, they are the source of really good prayer. And whole life is in prayer. And we can say that we can read that they are trying to pray non-stop Jesus prayer. And so okay, we can practice that. But we can understand like these monks, if they follow this fast and mercy, and they come to this correct vision of their inner state, so this pushes them to say the prayer again, again, again. That makes sense? This is very important to understand correctly, and well, and it cannot come like that we make decision, I want to pray in this in this way. And we can try, and for many days we will not have this, we will not reach this. But we always have to practice that, because as he says, this knowledge is coming from above. It's really some kind of God's gift from those who are serious about that. That if we try to fast, if we try to really be filled with mercy and this desire that, well, we want to imitate our Lord. So we are preparing ourselves for this gift, and this gift will come in God's chosen time. And it can be gone for some time again and return back. If we are in monastery and we have this rhythm of life in monastery, and we have we are freed from these worldly affairs, it would come earlier and stay for a long time, even forever. We are exposed to many distractions. But it doesn't mean that we should not beg God for that. Because even like one situation, maybe as the, I don't know who was it, the elder who said that, but, well, it's not about, it's general explanation. He said that those who are in the world, probably they cannot receive so high spiritual heights like in monastery. But if they try, and even if they manage to have several moments, you know, of this, it will come to them as a several times more. Like reward will be several times bigger than for those monks. Mm-hmm. Like Martin, and he explained on because somebody asked him that that I as a mother with kids, I cannot keep, you know, these long prayers. So what I'm supposed to do? And he explained that it is same like this, those monks who get like obedience means some kind of job to do, and this job causes that they cannot attend all the services. But say, even if they say in the end of the day one prayer with whole heart and everything, because of this obedience, this prayer counts like whole day prayer for the others. So God is, it's, God is merciful. He really look to our heart, what is going on. So, but it doesn't mean that we should not try hard. So it means that our trying, this our effort, might bring the same fruit as hard work of monks. Even we don't reach their level of this. Well, I just don't want to give bad advice, but it is how they see that. How they see that. And we have, if you read the sayings of Holy Fathers or these Fathers of Desert, and there was one story, one monk, holy monk, old monk, asked God, show me who is the most virtuous man here. And so God somehow led him out of monastery. So he said, well, nobody in monastery, the most virtuous man. And he was led to city. And there was a shoemaker there. He said, this is the most virtuous man. And he asked, shoemaker. He was fixing shoes, you know, in on the street. There was a lot of people. So this man asked him, so what are you doing? How are you living your life with God? And he said, well, yeah, I'm praying all day and I see people going around, so I ask blessing for everybody who goes around me. And I see, I don't want to go further. I think that he said that, I'm asking God that, all those, how wonderful people, how there are great people, and I am poor person who is not worthy of anything. So I'm asking for a little bit grace from God and for his mercy. I think that it went somehow like that. I don't remember this. But in God's eyes, he was the most virtuous man in this area. Well, so it's not impossible for us to become holy. All right, so let's continue.
When the Holy Spirit enters into a man, the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The divine and heavenly Spirit, making himself like unto the soul of a person, prays and weeps for him. He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God, because to him alone is the will of God revealed. No one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Promising his disciples a great gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit, the Lord said, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, if all things, then tears and prayer as well. He will cry aloud for us, he will pray for us, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, so weak, limited, darkened, and damaged are we by sin. If, upon entering us, the Holy Spirit cries out for us, how much more should we cry for ourselves before receiving this all-holy traveler inside ourselves? After renewal by the Holy Spirit, if our state is worthy of tears, and it is worthy of tears according to the witness of the very Holy Spirit, how much more is it worthy of tears in its decrepitude, in its fallenness, to which we had led ourselves? Tears must be an inalienable quality of our prayer, its constant, ever-present fellow traveler and pilgrim, its very soul.
Yeah. Well, we are entering to this very interesting topic, gift of tears. And if we read lives of saints, especially these monks and those who live like alone, and it's very interesting that tears are mentioned so many often. Some of them, they were carrying handkerchief all time. There are about some saints who said that they, when they were doing like vigils of this all night prayer, so many times in front of them was like mud because of their tears. From some they said that their cushion was soaked with tears morning. We can feel that there is something very special in this gift. And actually, they say, this teacher of spiritual life, that the tears, the gift of tears, comes as the first of gifts when we are on the real way of purification of our heart and mind. It's a little bit strange for us. When I read first time, yeah, somehow, I was seminary at the time, I came through this and it was like bothering me, these tears. So I asked our spiritual father about these tears and he told me that, well, it is very rare now to find a person who would have this gift. That he said that we are too dull because of world, that we are not attuned to God. And this is why we don't have this. And it was clear for me that this gift of tears, it's totally different from kind of emotional tears, which comes when we are moved, or we are sad, or we are in some kind of hurted, or we are in so huge joy that we start to even cry from joy. Those are tears which are natural, or coming out from emotions. But if we are talking about gift of tears, it is something that at first we don't have power over that. It is gift which comes and you start to, the tears start to come out. And when this gift comes, this is like what we are talking before, when we receive this clear understanding of our heart through prayer, through fasting, through mercy in our heart, when we prepare our heart, then this understanding, this knowledge of our heart comes from above and we are overwhelmed and we run to Lord to help us. Usually this is state when we are ready to receive this gift of tears. Those tears are reaction to spiritual state when we are. And they always come not because we want. It is something you cannot control. And it is sign of God's grace, of presence of this grace, which starts to make this transformation of our soul and heart and mind. He touches this object very little bit, but he continues, but still it is, but this Isaac Syrian, he dedicated many pages to this gift. And what I liked there, he said that first this gift in the beginning is painful, that those tears in the beginning are causing pain. They are coming from this pain of soul, and they are painful tears because we see our fallen state and we see how we offend God, and we are really begging from whole our heart and mind for forgiveness, for mercy, for help. So those tears are painful, and he said even your body can suffer. That it's painful really for body, it's really painful. But he said that, and then this gift of tears, and these tears will lose this bitterness. When we are on this way of purification, we reach the end of this purification, tears become very sweet. They are going out, these are effort, but there are accompanied inside some kind of sweetness. They call this state, which is of soul, when it feels this great, they call it like honey, sweetness. They cannot to describe that because we don't have words for that. So, and this activity of Holy Spirit in us. And in the end, when this purification, it takes some time, then enlightenment comes, and in the end, of this, the gift brings another, preparing us for another gift, which is pure, non-stop prayer. It means the state when we stop, make effort to pray, and Holy Spirit prays in us. Some explain it this way, that it is like some kind of mechanism in our heart which says prayer non-stop. Oh Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy. It's not so, because, and it is not a result of our will. We don't force ourselves to pray. This gift of prayer is there, and it is like clock going and going. No. We are too far. but I'm just saying that there are so wonderful things in front of us if we start to have courage to go on this way. They're wonderful things. Wonderful things. With Deacon Ed, he told me, but if he's going to listen, he will be not happy. So I will not go to details. But he said that he was traveling once by train, and he said that when train moved, he started to pray Jesus' prayer, and he said it started like run in my heart. And he said, I am not going to tell details, but he said he doesn't know how this time passed. He traveled like several hours, I think, by train, and he just realized that, oh, I arrived. You know, that he had this experience for at the time, and even for him it was difficult to explain details. But when he was talking about that, you know, I was very jealous. I was very jealous. Yeah. All right. Let's continue.
Okay.
About tears again.
Whoever unites his prayer with tears labors according to the instruction of God himself. He labors properly, lawfully. At the appropriate time, he can expect to reap a great harvest, joy that promises salvation. Whoever removed tears from his prayer labors contrary to God's instruction, and he will bear no fruits at all. Not only that, but he will instead reap the thorns of vanity, self-deception, and perdition. Brothers, let us not allow ourselves to be fooled by the false, ridiculous, foolish, pernicious thought. Let us not strive to feel delight in our prayer. It is not appropriate for a sinner to feel the joy of grace. A sinner deserves only tears. Let us seek them diligently. Let us find this treasure, the key to all other spiritual treasures. He who has no tears is in a false position. He is fooled by his own pride. The Holy Fathers call such tears guides in spiritual labors. They must come before all our good thoughts. They must lead them to their proper goal. Thoughts that are not infused with sorrow, are not guided by it, are wayward thoughts.
Hard words. Hard words. And, well, he who has no tears is in a false position. He is fooled by his own pride. So, well, when I read this first time, it was like, okay, so I was fooled every day. I had to ask myself. The problem I was, And this is why he used these strong words, is that prayer is our work. Prayer is this our connection with God, and we already heard so many conditions how to prepare for prayer, how to pray, how to control thoughts, how to fast, how to make our heart merciful, that we have to have this intention, you know, to keep commandments, to intention to really please God in everything. So there is like whole set of spiritual, some kind of demands, which are conditions for our prayer, for a real prayer. And we can feel that if we try to fulfill these conditions, so then we are able to pray. We know that our prayer is deeper. That we, when we start to make this preparation, we heard, and even like what we heard today, just to fast, it means, well, it's difficult, but well, if we just don't pray on full stomach, you know, that after like very good supper, you know, we are tired and say, okay, now I'm going to pray because I feel comfortable, and well, we can see that there is no prayer there. Even we think that we might pray well, but when we are hungry and this hunger points us towards Christ, when we create or we wake up this mercy in our heart towards everybody, and we start to see that how sinful we are, and then we start to pray, we can feel that there is a different quality of that prayer. And so Brian Chino, he calls us to make this preparation. Just not to be satisfied by words. He said, this is very serious work. You are going in front of our Lord, to stand in front of King of Kings in prayer. You must be prepared for that. And this one thing, another thing is that this his words give us some kind of test we should apply to our life. He said that if we have no tears, it means if we are not in this state, something wrong with us, and we have to search what is wrong, and we should return back to order. What is another thing is what he says, don't search pleasure in prayer, good feelings. How strange it is in our society. Because many people, they say, I say a prayer, I meditate to calm down, to feel okay, in some kind of balance. And so it is like lying to ourselves, you know. It's like searching own some kind of pleasures. Prayer, it's not the result of prayer. So if you are searching that, you are on the wrong way. And not only so, we should even expect from prayer some kind of pleasure. He said, how can you, a sinner, can expect pleasure from prayer? It's really, his words are very, they sound very strange for us. But what he says is the same teaching what we can find in all works of holy fathers, west of east, they say the same thing. But I think it's devil's work that we somehow took these precious things and we adjusted them to serve to our egoism and pleasures, and then we and it is pleasant to think this way, you know, that. So we have to be very careful and always suspicious if there are some kind of good things, because good things will come. But if I can recognize in my heart some weaknesses, sins, some passions still I am fighting with, this is a sign that, well, I cannot, how can I enjoy heavenly things, heavenly pleasures, if still my heart is infected by those things? So we have to be realistic a little bit. When the heart will become pure, it will come, and we will be able to recognize, because these experiences are so out of this world that we will not make mistake. Tough words. But well, they will keep us. They will keep us in order a little bit, and protect us against our pride. All right, we have still time to make another few paragraphs.
Saint Pieman the Great said, "The life of a monk must be full of tears. This is the path of repentance given us by the scriptures and the fathers, who said, 'Weep. There is no other path other than the path of tears.'" Another great father said, "If you want to please God, leave the world, separate yourself from the earth, leave creation, approach the Creator, and unite with God through prayer and tears." Monks who live in large monasteries and want to acquire prayerful tears must pay special attention to the rejection of their own will. If they will cut it off and pay no attention to the sins and the actions of others around them in general, then they will acquire both prayer and tears. When thoughts descend into the heart, they inspire the heart to pray and sorrow for God, and this sorrow leads to tears. Since, in our time, there is a frightful lack of true instructors of prayer, let us choose tears for our guide and instructor. They will teach us to pray and keep us from self-deception. All who have rejected tears and removed it from their prayer have fallen into self-deception. This is maintained by the Holy Fathers.
Yeah. So we have this impression that what he says for monks, and in some way it is truth, but we have to understand that monasteries were like this, we can compare them to these research centers, that, well, there are these experts making research, they are making this like they are trying to find out new pill, America's pill against this Wuhan virus. But once they find this, everybody is using this pill for protection. So even we read these words of Holy Fathers, even they talk about this environment of monasteries and life of monks. So we have to see them as these experts which are offering us some kind of wisdom. They came through their experience, and we are taking this fruit of their work, spiritual work, for our benefit. So we have to take it this way, and And he really gives us, he starts by talking about the monasteries, how monks they do this, and then he says very important things. He says that in his time was not enough, they couldn't find enough real teachers of prayer. What can we say now? You know, what can we say now? But he said that tears are these teachers, that we, if we follow these steps we are talking about in the beginning and during the whole chapter, when we start to follow this and we take these pills which is monks invented through their effort and they struggle in the spiritual life, we take these pills, so they will lead us to this gift of prayer, of tears, which gives us, they become these are guides of prayer. There is, probably I said about this story from life of Saint Joseph the Hesychast, from, he was canonized recently, and he was a young man who came to Mount Athos because he wanted to be a monk. Actually, it started, long story, I don't want to make it too long. He grew up in poor condition, very poor condition. I think he was 14 when his mother sent him to Athens to work already, to support himself and to support family. And he was clever, hardworking, and he really slowly, but well, when he was, I think, 18, he started his own business, and he was well, doing well. But he had a vision, but he was very pious, but still living the world. But he had vision that, in dream, that he was walking around a huge castle, and this guard, which was there, called him, come inside, the owner, the king wants to see you. So he went inside, they changed his cloth to nice one, and then this king told him, when they met, from now on you are going to serve me. And he woke up, and really this dream was following him. Then he got a book, it was given to him as a gift about saints, life of saints. He started to read that, and somehow inside of him something was changed in the end. Well, in the end he sold his business, he gave money to churches, to his family, everything. Then so he went to wilderness, close to Athens, in the mountains, because he couldn't get to monastery, to Athos, because of war. He couldn't. So he went for 2 years, and he was testing himself if he can be monk. And this desire for this pure prayer was in him. So he wanted to go there and to find a teacher who would teach him how to pray, may he can become good monk. And when he came finally to Athos, he started to go from monastery to monastery. He was like going like from one of this hut to another. And it took like several years, I think 2 years, that he was going searching. He didn't become monk. He made decision, I have to find a real teacher of prayer, and then I will stay there, I will be obedient to that person, and I will honor this person because I want to. But he couldn't find. So he stayed for a while in this monk, and the monk, he was like bee, trying to find all this sweetness from flowers. And there was one moment when this monk, he lived with, still not as a monk, he was very rude to him, even he was maximum like obedient. And then, so he somehow went to like some kind of hill, small hill behind, and he started to pray, and he started to cry. He said, "Oh Lord, I came here to serve you, to save my soul, to get this, to learn how to pray. You know that I was searching for a teacher for this prayer, but I couldn't find anybody, and even I suffering this injustice." And so he was praying and crying, and in the end, this moment, from there was like big hill, there was like Chapel of Transfiguration, a ray of light came from this chapel and hit him, and he knew that something happened. He had this mystical experience when the prayer started to run in his heart, and from that day never stopped. So he spent night in some kind of cave, or I think it was just some hole, just praying and enjoying this sweetness he experienced. But and many things became very clear for him. So then he was obedient to another several monks, until, because there is like tradition, if you want to become like starets, it means this elder, you have to bury elder. You cannot just promote yourself as an elder. So he and his friend spent time, they took care of this one elder, and when they buried him, so Joseph became the elder, and slowly his brothership was growing. Not a lot of, not, but this, if you have this, what he says here, he names him here in his book, what he can add. On page 178, he talks about Elder Joseph de Hesychast. Here, he calls him like father of revival, spiritual revival among others. What is true? Because when his way, he became teacher of prayer, and he taught his disciples, and those disciples then went to many monasteries. The brotherhood, after his death, stopped to exist. His monks went to different monasteries, and all those monasteries became like, they started to be, the Mian men started to fill the monasteries. And monastic like life was renewed, not only there, but his heritage is known now all the whole world. There are monasteries which they say that well, our father is Saint Joseph, you know, or under his influence it was created. So in this history is that if we don't have these elders around ourselves, if we have desire for that, God himself become our teacher, his grace. But it has to be pure heart, desire, effort, hard work, and this grace will come. Right, we can stop here.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast. Please share it with those who might like to be enriched by this teaching of Holy Bishop Ignatius. If you live in our area, we would love if you could join us for our study in person on Monday nights at 7 p.m. at St. Nicholas Byzantine Catholic Church in Barberton, Ohio. Thank you, and God bless.